Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.
G'day, Mike Hussey here, but you can call me Mr. Supercoach. KFC Supercoach BBL is back and there's 25 grand up for grabs. So what are you waiting for? Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.
Is the hamster on the phone? We're going to talk to him because, yeah, it is, of course, Thanksgiving there tomorrow. It means there's three NFL games. Simon, good morning. How are you, mate?
G'day, Ricardo. Good to speak to you.
Yeah,
happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and you, mate, and you. I mean, something we don't obviously celebrate here. How big is that in the US, you know, when you put it next to, say, Christmas and Halloween and Easter and all those other holidays?
Well, it's my favourite out of the holidays. I think it's fun. You know, the weather's starting to get colder over here. Everyone comes together. We cook a whole bunch of food. I'm hanging out with a couple of other Kiwis tomorrow. And we're, you know, cooking a turkey, cooking a lamb, cooking some pies up, you know, a whole bunch of food. And then we'll be watching a whole bunch of NFL as well. So it's always a good social occasion.
Yeah, mate, that sounds good. Sound, you know, any time that there's lots of food and lots of football involved, you can't complain. I did see somebody suggesting, and I can't try to remember what they called it now. It was basically a turkey but stuffed with an octopus, and they'd left all the tentacles hanging out the back. I don't know how you'd go with that.
I haven't heard of that, and I'm open to trying new things, but maybe I'd steer clear of that contraption.
Yeah,
be interesting to see how that comes out of the oven, though.
Yeah, it would be. I'd be all about that, mate. Be all about that. Try new things, mate. Try new things. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Now we've got a triple header tomorrow. The Bills with the against the Lions to start, and the Lions have. You know, at the beginning of the season, I thought the Lions looked like they might give a few teams a problem. And I've thought that about the Lions before, and then they've completely, you know, they've gone close in a couple of games, lost a few by sort of under sevens, and then just been blown out and absolutely done nothing all season. And I thought that was the way this season was going to go, but a couple of big wins for them in the last couple of weeks. Do you reckon they've got enough to give the Bills some problems in Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Bills are the favourites, but look, this Lions side is fun to watch. They're coming right at the right time. They won three in a row now to be 4-6. They're not going to win the NFC North, but suddenly you start looking at them as a potential outside wild card match, because if they could somehow sneak a win against the Bills this weekend, tomorrow. After that, they've got a schedule that which becomes quite winnable. They've got the Jags, the Jets, the Panthers, the Bears, and the Packers again, and a match against the Vikings as well. So there's a few games in there that are winnable. And you know, look, they've got their top draft pick, Jamison Williams, the wide receiver. He's due back in the next week or two, so he's going to bolster their already quite potent offense. And I think this Lions side is starting to show some signs that they're a competitive team. And I think the best thing about them is they're also fun to watch. You know, they're regularly putting up 30 points in games. Their defense is a bit weak, and so they're susceptible to a few blowouts. But it does often mean high scoring games if the Lions are involved. And I think coming up against a Bills team, which is equally potent on offense, we could be in for quite a high-scoring one tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And you mentioned suspect to a few blowouts. I was looking at the standings, and the Vikings are 8-2, right? So they've won 8, lost 2, but their points differential is -2. Talk about being blown out.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. I mean, that's what one, you know, this NFL season is so tough, so close. And then if you have 140-3 loss or thrashing, as the Vikings had last week against the Cowboys, you're right. Suddenly an 8-2 team can have a minus points differential, which is quite staggering. But they'll come up against the Patriots side tomorrow night, which is going to be a tough matchup for them. The Patriots are coming into form at the right time. The defense that Bill Belichick is running out up there in New England is just so hard to get anything done against. I know the Jets obviously struggled big time last weekend in a 10-3 loss to the Patriots. And the Patriots are 6-4. They've got stuff to play for now, and I quite like them in this matchup. For me, it's, you know, similar, this Vikings side coming up against a stern defense like they did against the Cowboys last week. And so I fancy the Patriots to potentially to get the upset here.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, in between, we've got, you know, sort of AFC East versus NFC North matchups there. And sandwiched in the middle is another East matchup between the Giants and the Cowboys, two teams who are locked on 7-3, behind two games behind the Eagles. I mean, this could potentially be season-defining for both teams. A win here, and you get the break over a divisional rival, a loss, and maybe you're just out on the outer when it comes to that wild card race.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think the Cowboys will be favourites for this. Obviously, they're coming off a massive win of the Vikings that you just mentioned. I think they're just looking a little bit better than the Giants. I know they've got the same record, but I think, you know, you talk about points differentials. You know, the Giants is plus one for a 7-3 team. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys is sort of closer to plus 70. So I think they're, you know, obviously with a big win making up for a lot of that. But I think the Cowboys look really strong. Their defense is fantastic with Micah Parsons there. The offense is, you know, hitting all the right form with Dak Prescott now back and fully fit, and then CeeDee Lamb there. Tony Pollard's giving, you know, them two running back options with Zeke Elliott as well. I think the Cowboys are starting to hit form at the right time. I think they're a real team to watch down the stretch. And I think the Giants, on the other hand, I think are perhaps starting to get found out a little bit. I think they're a team that, you know, is good, and they've been well coached, but they've probably overperformed so far this year. And I do wonder, you know, I lost to Detroit last weekend, which is a game that, you know, a 7-3 team should be able to win, but I do think the Giants will probably come up second best against the Cowboys here.
Yeah, all right, mate. Before we move on from the NFL, there is one game on Monday that I just want to touch on. The Chiefs at home to the Rams. The defending Super Bowl champions are 3-7. Will the Chiefs put them out of their misery this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the Rams are done and dusted for the year. I think, you know, Cooper Kupp's out for the rest of the year now. I saw they waived their running back Daryl Henderson, so he's going to be a free agent shortly. I saw their backup quarterbacks getting a lot more first team reps at training, so there's a chance perhaps they just at some point sit Matt Stafford and try and get him fully fit for next season. But I think the Rams are pretty much in, you know, next season mode now, and it's a shame for them actually, because they traded away all their draft picks to, you know, their future draft picks to put out a Super Bowl winner last year, and they won the Super Bowl. So it's hard to argue against that, but it does mean that if they bottom out and end up with, you know, what would have been a top five pick, that they're going to be sending that pick somewhere else. So. But nonetheless, they've still got, you know, the bones of a good team. It's just been a tough year for the Rams, and so I think they're pretty close to rebuilding and going into next year. But I think this Chiefs side is in scintillating form at the moment and should comfortably win that one.
Yeah, all right, mate. Now we should talk about a couple other things. One of those is, I was going to say you rubbing shoulders with it. It's probably not accurate. You rubbing shoulder to elbow with Stephen Adams. How was that?
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. So me and a mate of mine, Kiwi mate, that hosts the 3rd and 5 podcast with, went along to the Grizzlies-Nets game at Barclays Center in Brooklyn the other night. And my mate was very keen to get his Memphis Grizzlies Stephen Adams jersey signed by the big man. So he even bought a New Zealand flag along with him and sort of hung that down on the bottom row to try and get Adams' attention during the warm-ups. And Adams looked stoked when he saw it. He sort of, you know, pointed it, gave it a massive wave, sort of indicated he'd be over in a couple of minutes when he was done what he was doing. And sure enough, he wandered over, you know, shook both of our hands, had a little yarn to us both, thanked us for coming. Unfortunately, Barclays Center security didn't let us bring in any pens, and so they confiscated James, my friend's pens, and so there were no pens to sign the jersey with, but the Grizzlies social media team were there, and they took a couple of nice photos and put them on the Grizzlies Twitter page, and so it was cool, and Adams went out and had a good game. The Grizzlies lost, but Adams put up a double-double and was in good form.
Yeah, well, that's great, mate. It's a great story. It baffles me. We could go into it, why American security will take a pen off you, but you could wander in anywhere with a gun, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. Not allowed to graffiti the walls, but you are allowed to, you know, defend yourself.
Yeah, indeed. Just before we let you go, mate, how big is the FIFA World Cup in New York at the moment? The USA face the Poms this weekend. How much attention is that getting?
Yeah, it's big. But I think, you know, soccer, as they call it over here, is continues to grow. you know, I think Americans are really tuned into their team, the U.S. national team, both the women's, well, the women's in particular is, you know, one of the best in the world, as New Zealand will see next year at the Women's World Cup. But the men's team as well is growing and is becoming more and more competitive as well. And there's a lot of excitement around this team. And I think come Friday when they play England, it's a 2 p.m. kickoff over here in New York. And so I think, you know, on a long weekend when most people won't be working, the pubs will be full. There's a lot of expat English folk over here, and there's obviously a lot of people interested in the USA team. So I think the pubs are going to be full. There's going to be a great atmosphere around. And people are really, really tuned into this World Cup. They obviously know that the Men's World Cup is coming in 2026 as well to America. And so I think there's a lot of excitement around this US team and following the World Cup as a whole.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they go. Harry Kane in doubt for the Poms with an ankle injury. And, you know, there's a stat that floats around, no doubt you're aware of. England have never beaten the United States at a World Cup. They've played twice, they've lost one and drawn one. So, you know, the US have got the wood on them.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't hate the idea of, you know, I think this USA team is underrated a little bit. They've got some serious young talent. They have, you know, Pulisic and Reiner and a lot of other guys that are you know, potentially could be household European football names over the next few years, if not already in the case of someone like Pulisic. But yeah, I like the chances of the USA with a bit of momentum and that sort of knowledge that they'll always get up for a game against England as well to potentially get a win or at the very least a draw in this game. It certainly is a game that I could see going in all three directions.
Yeah, I think it's just a pity they've got a couple of cloggers in the central defence and Tim Ream. Could he be any better named Walker Zimmerframe or Zimmerman? But so I always think Zimmerframe when I hear his first name is Walker, and he's, you know, it's just a bit of a clogger.
He could never be fast with a name like that, could he?
No, mate, no. Good stuff, mate. Have a good Thanksgiving. Enjoy your feast and enjoy that, you know, sure, being glued to the couch for three NFL games back to back. And thanks for giving us some time, mate. And keep up the good work on the 3rd and 5 podcast, eh?
Thanks, Ricardo, mate. We'll talk soon.
Life's busy. Take this deck. There's heaps to do on it, like polishing off this wine. That's tough. Life's pretty good with a Trex deck. Composite decking with no hard maintenance. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.